Yesterday, the Lord began to give us His will and show us His perspective as touching certain matters. And today, I'm trusting the Lord that He will bring further clarity, to us for a season as kairos as this. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 16, is where we'll take our text from this morning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 16. I hope it's projected so that we read together. Amen. Hallelujah. Please, let's read together. Everybody, it's projected at the count of two. One, two, go. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Please, I want you to take a minute wherever you are. Just contemplate on what you are seeing right before you. That God made two great lights. One, which is greater to rule the day, and another which is lesser than the greater to rule the night. Please say, the sun will rule the day, but the moon will rule the night. Please follow me. There is something I want to establish. It may look so basic, but it's an ancient truth. Which means that the sun has a jurisdiction where his government will reign. And he will have to step aside for another government called the moon. The moon is not a servant, he's also a ruler. Because God says, one that will rule the day, another will rule the night. The night has its own king. The day has its own king. And if a spirit wants to alter the course of your life, one of the most basic things they will do is to draw you into the night. Because if you enter the night has a king that rules it, called the moon. Those of us who did not escape our geography class, you will realize that the moon has no light of its own. The moon only reflects the light of another, called the sun. Satan has no power of his own. He is only a master of duplicating the realities of the kingdom that he knows. The Bible says, my people perish. Of all the reasons that scriptures gave as the reason why men perish, they did not say it's because of the strength of Satan. They didn't say it's because of how wicked they are. He says it's because of lack of knowledge. There is something associated with the night. There is something associated with darkness. Don't be deceived. Satan operates as light. Satan appears. The Bible says, and be no marvel, for Satan has transformed himself into an angel of light. You will not see Satan with a face cap facing backward and a ragged jeans and, all in a shrine. Satan will wear a suit. Satan will come looking so sanctimonious. Oh, he is a light. The time they describe him, they say there is a light that rules the day, or there is another light that will rule the night. If you are here and you are living in sin, and you are using spiritual principles to cover up, no matter how many hours you pray, if your life is not in tandem with the standard of holiness, your Lord is the power that rules the night. There is a government that rules darkness. If you live in darkness, you are under the dominion of that government. We are people who love, to compromise here and there, contradict the instructions of God now and then, and every time we sense a small attack, small shaking in one area or another of our life, we run quickly to light. The average Christian does not find his perpetual habitation in light. We don't live inside light. Our residence is darkness. We only visit light when there is a challenge, and any time it is solved, we go back to where we are. Let me share something about the average heart state of a man. If you are here and you are keeping tab, you are counting the number of days. In fact, this is the normal state of the believer. He will just stay like this and say, God, I've tried. for like 1 month. I have not even fallen for that sin. You know what you are doing? Righteousness is not your residence. You are a visitor. You are counting that. It is like a person who traveled to a place and is counting how many days he has spent in that strange place. Your real habitation is where he's drawing you. It's where you live normally. Port Harcourt, the protection package of holiness is stronger than the protection package of prayer. If the way of a man can please the Lord, he causeth even his enemies to be at peace with him. He says, he that digs a pit will fall into it. He who rolls a stone against you, to him it will return. This is what holiness does for a man. Just because you live inside light, 1,000 will fall by your side, 10,000 by your right hand side. No evil shall by any means hurt you. He reproved kings for their sake. He suffered none to do them wrong, saying, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. These things are reserved for those who live in light. We live in disobedience, yet we want to see the product of faithfulness in our life. Endless all night study. Endless jumping around from prayer house to prayer house, and the root cause has not been dealt with. Didn't you read? He that breaks the edge, the serpent will strike. How did Satan strike? Your real description is you are the apple of his eye, so nobody is supposed to be able to touch you. Your real description is you are hid in Christ and Christ in God, so nobody should be able to access you. You are supposed to be living in the midst of your enemies, and they will not know how to touch you. Because the only way to touch a spiritual man is to access his source, his roots. If you are in God and God is carrying Christ, to touch you, they will have to remove Jesus from inside God, then remove you from inside Jesus. The security protocol is too much. The average Christian contradicts the laws of God, live outside the boundaries of holiness, and he is surprised why his life is full of attack. I want to reiterate this thing I've said again so that it sinks. The protection package of holiness is stronger than the protection package of prayer. Pray for 10 hours. The Bible says the fervent and effectual prayer of the righteous, of the righteous, of the righteous. This is the condition that must be on ground. It is the righteous that prayer is powerful for. Satan knows what he does. He attacks our life, attacks our conduct, attacks our behaviors. Use all these things to plant impediments in our life, knowing fully well that you will never be able to wield the scepter of power. No matter what you do, you have failed in the condition that requires for power to be commanded in prayer. What the devil wants is that you continue to practice principles. Practice principles. But you will not see the impact of those principles in your life. When you do it for 20 years, you will now become discouraged because you have been doing this thing and no results. To get the outcome of an experiment, there is something called procedure that must be followed. The procedure is the step-by-step that you must not contradict just to get the outcome. And if God has given the standard of having encounters with him, why do we try, to make it as flexible as we want? We want to play by our terms and expect the outcome of those who live absolutely by the terms of God. There are people here, you don't know yet that sickness should not be in your body. You are carrying it around, you are managing it, you are finding a way now to just say, well, we are trusting God, one day I will be healed. The Bible says, if this spirit that rose up Christ from the dead can dwell in your mortal body. The first question I ask you this morning, have you become a host for the Holy Spirit? If he lives in you, light and darkness cannot cohabit. There are truths we must tell ourselves. No need to sugarcoat it. No need to pretend. There is too much motivation going on. And so a sinner is motivated to still believe that he is right with God. And you know you are not right. See, the power in holiness is more than the power in any other thing you can do. Holy living. You are spotless. Spirits are envying you. Your garment is unstained. Men gather to bring you down. God judge them immediately. They call your name in any coven and judgment strikes. It's in that realm. God does not show you what he's doing for you. You are just living your life and judgment is happening in different places because they are tempted to touch the apple of God's eye. I pray that after this morning, our labor will be more towards pleasing God with our life. Then leave every other thing to God. I have not seen. Ears have not heard. It has not entered the heart of men what God reserved for those who love him. Do you love him? Is your life fleshing out his will? There is nothing more guaranteed than living holy. Inside holiness, you don't need to be asking, where is this? Who is my enemy? You will not know your battles. It is the culture of a holy man is called unseen battles. God is not obligated to tell you what he's doing for you. You just be living your life normally, and different covens will have history, records, and they send signals to different covens. Don't touch this one. Don't touch him. The jealousy of God is towards him. God is jealous about this one. He's not jealous about everybody. And if you are living a double standard life, you know, a hypocrite, you openly portray yourself like a holy man, a holy woman, a holy boy, a holy girl, and secretly, mind you, God sees in secret. Secretly, he knows you don't have anything with him. You are an unfaithful person secretly. What God will do is that he will also allow you to continue in that path. Because all you want is for men to think that you are holy. You know what Jesus says? They have their reward. Can I share something with you? Come on now. If you are blessed, say amen. When it came to the time Jesus wanted to give his lecture on prayer in Matthew chapter 6, one of the first things he started by saying, he said, when ye pray. You know what he said? Do not pray as the Pharisees do. This one is for holy men. Holy men. Holy men. What did he say? He said, before you ask, your Father who is in heaven already knows what you have need of. He says, the Pharisees love praying long prayers because they think that it is in their much speaking that God hears them. Have you ever seen this in the scripture? That Jesus is saying it's not by the length of the prayer. It is by how much your heart is in tandem with God. God carries prayer points from the heart of a holy man. As you are thinking it, it has become a request. Your mouth doesn't have to say it. God's ear is always by the heart of the righteous. He's listening. If you cry, you have judged the person that made you cry. The righteous, him and God, is koinonia. Live in righteousness. No. We live inside darkness and we are complaining that, Kai, this world is wicked. And the person who is wicked is you. Can I share something with you? A shark is powerful, but a shark is only powerful in the water. Amen. Find a way to lure the shark out of the water, bring it out of the water, keep it on the land, and a monkey will be cracking joke around the shark. Keep a shark and a monkey on the land and say, on your mark, get set, ready, go. You will say that, Kai, what kind of lazy beast is this? You know why? It is not in its element. It is only in its element you will find the strength of that organism. The power of the shark. You will not know it's a dangerous predator until you allow it to stay in its element. Now, that monkey that is shining, doing all kinds of skill on the land, when you shift the competition to the water, suddenly you will now realize that this monkey is the fool. Man was not designed to live in the world. Man was designed to live in God. There are times and times again that this truth has been re-echoed throughout scripture. The Bible says, in him we live, we move, and have our being. Live outside God and you will be handicapped. If you live outside God, there are creatures that are masters of the sense realm. Don't live by sight. Don't live by hearing. Don't live by the things you feel. The just will live by faith. Stay inside God. Hide inside him. He that dwelleth, not he that visits, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Listen, there are three known habitations, but the third one has not, you know, been made public yet. There is the habitation for the physical creatures. That's where everything physical finds existence. There is the habitation for spirits. It's another world where spirits find their expression. God does not stay in the spirit world. God does not stay in the spirit world. Because the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, if a person will have to create a habitation for beings that are spirit beings that he created, he will need to be in a place before he created that realm where they will now be inside. There is a place he is staying inside, a place that only him was, that from there he meted out the different habitations. So he made a habitation where spirits that he created will be. He made a habitation where physical beings that he created will be. However, God does not live in the spirit world. If you go to heaven, you will still not see God. There is only his throne there. And he shows up from time to time, and the best submission from the rank of angels. And only cherubs could speak about it, because they are the closest, cherubs and seraphs. They are the closest to the throne. And if you don't talk about him, they say, there is a bright light that appears. Where does God stay? What is the name of his habitation? Tell the person by your side, the secret place. Till today, angels are asking, what is the name? They say, the name is called secret place. Just don't ask much. When God wanted to give man access, God did not draw man into the world of spirits. Okay, see, a herbalist can manifest, move into the world of spirits. There's a realm called the realm of spirits. And he can go there, carry out his merchandise, and then come back with men and say, go, it's done. The person will now walk home after 2 days and see truly that somebody has solved something from somewhere. There is a realm where a herbalist cannot manifest. And so this is why God did not invite man into the world of spirits. God invited man into where only him stays. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. It is because of this truth the angels say, what is man that you are mindful of him? Who is this one that you visit him? How did you allow him to touch places none of us have seen? Holiness. Holiness is a priceless commodity. That you are right. Your heart is clean. Comment on spotted. You and God know. I heard that Ikumi prayed one prayer that shook me from my legs. He says, Father, you know me and I know you. In the name of your son Jesus, let them be healed. I stayed in that crusade watching this man. Does God know you? Can you pray that kind of prayer? And what that prayer means is that from the history me and you have, both in the secret and in the open, you know who I am. I also know who you are. Now, in the name of your son, let these people be healed. See miracles, signs, and wonders everywhere. That was God coming out and saying, yes, I know you. I cannot deny you. I know who you are. I know who you are. See, I beg somebody in the name of the Lord, prioritize holy living. Prioritize holy living. Every temptation you overcome is another statement in your CV in the spirit. The creatures are beginning. See, there is no temptation that is not common to man. There is nothing you are falling for that somebody somewhere is not also being tempted and is overcoming. And they didn't give him extra strength. This is why there is reward at the end of the day. They are rewarding because why did you overcome? What gave you power to overcome? Mind you, we are in a transition season. We are in a transition season. The elders are rounding up their work. The eye of Eli is becoming dim. The hand of Moses is becoming weak. And God is looking around in a generation to subscript luminaries, subscript lieutenants who will come and continue in this great fight against darkness. Mind you, as God is brooding looking for those he will use. There is another spirit too, plunging men into deeper realms of darkness, so that even if God says, I want this one, a spirit will appear and say, he's not worthy. She's not worthy. Then they will open your secret life and say, is this one that will be the savior of Cross River? Is it this one that will become the voice of Benue? Is it this one? And this is why only in heaven. That is where they showed one of Satan's title. That one is not found on the earth. It's in heaven. They call him the accuser of the brethren. That one is only angels that understand that his portfolio. They say, one thing we know about him is that he's an accuser. So see what Satan did. He gathered people, shared very powerful manifestos with them, told them about what government is thinking about, and how when he starts, he will give them choice roles, choice offices and appointments. The angels believed him. He now went behind them and went to report to God that there are people that came to meet me, and they are telling me that they would like if I can make a move to have my own space. But my heart is with you. I just want you to know that don't trust everybody around. The angels came and said, this guy is an accuser. Mind you, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12 that with his tail, he drew down 1/3 of the stars of heaven with his tail. It was Isaiah that opened what a tail is. Isaiah says, the prophet that speaketh a lie is the tail. He used lies. He used lies. Manipulated them. This is why when they fell, if you look at the arrangement of the kingdom of darkness, that kingdom has no unity. There's no love inside it. In fact, please, if you are getting blessed, say amen. Amen. If you ever get any deliverance, any ventilation from dark sources, or you are a person who frequents shrines, you know, go and take sessions with diviners and enchanters. What they do for you at best is, you have a predicament on ground, you came and say, Baba, this is the challenge. What Baba does is that he opens your life for greater and more wicked, fiery spirits to step in momentarily. When they step in, the smaller spirits that were responsible for your affliction will be bullied. They will fear, because in that kingdom there is no love. So when they fear and they exit your life, you will have a brief period of relief. Small rest. You will now think this thing has worked. But before you take a deep breath, the new landlords that entered will now say, establish their terms and conditions. They will now put you under tax. Then the end state of that man is worse than what he went to treat in the first place. This is exactly how they and they don't tell men what they are about to lose. You will now wish that you left everything the way it was before, than to start this endless journey of deeper level of initiations. Man's most secured place is light. We live inside light. What is light? I will share something with us today, and all I need from you, in all honesty, I just want your hearts to be opened. I want you to be as honest with yourself as possible. In the account of creation, the Bible showed us that among many trees that were in the Garden of Eden, there were two trees that God instructed man to be careful around. Number one, the tree of life. Number two, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Mind you, I know that there was an instruction about the tree of life, because I am drawing that reference because when man ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the only reason why they sent him out of the garden is not because God was angry. It is because the tree of life is inside that garden, and they can't have him partake of that tree now that he has fallen. Before you talk about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the first thing the heart of the average man focuses on is the evil part of that tree. But basically, the tree is basically a tree of knowledge. Every knowledge has good and bad sides. Everything you know ministers good and bad in it. For instance, I have always been so confident, you know, wake up, take my bath, carry one of my shoes from my wardrobe and wear. And then somebody sent me a video. I saw a video where they showed a snake inside somebody's shoe. The snake was hiding inside that corner, inside the shoe. And then they were videoing it and they were just saying something in the background like, my people, see what is happening. Let's be careful. Be very careful. Be very, very careful. I didn't know what happened to my soul. It looked like just an information, just a knowledge. I found out subconsciously, without planning to do it, from that day, any day I carry any shoe, I'll turn it like this first, do it like this. Then I'll now catch myself behaving in a way. What is making me act this way? There is a knowledge that entered me that has altered my behavior. Oh, they showed one video of a snake inside, you know, this water closet, and that he beat a woman, that we should be careful there. You need to pour salt, you know, in from time to time and all that. From that day, even when I'm sleeping in the night, when I enter the restroom, the first thing I do, I peep into the hole. And I don't know what I'm looking for. It is until that video came that this idea came. Can I share something with you? Come on now. Can I share something with you? Do you know where the madman has been living since January? Do you realize that all the rain that has fallen on him? Do you know that he drinks water from the gutter? He picks his food from the dump? Huh? You know why you have your malaria and your typhoid? Let's talk now. You say it's because of that mosquito that bites you. Those five mosquitoes. Five. There's somebody that has been under the rain. Eh? No pneumonia, nothing. You know what is different between you and him? Knowledge. There is something he knows. You, the whole from primary one, I will tell you the intelligence of the cosmos. In the world, they will school you from primary one, from nursery first. Nursery will give you the right tool to be able to associate with the ABC and 1, 2, 3. When you enter primary, they begin to teach you how to put those things together to be able to read. All they are trying to do is to introduce some knowledge to you. Whether you study the sciences or the humanities or arts, whatever you study, everything cosmos will teach you is the knowledge of the world, the physical world. So physics is the study of physical laws. But you will not find inside the whole study of physics, you will not find the law of oneness. You will not find that if a man and a woman get married, the two will become one flesh. You will not find that marriage in the eye of spirits is no wedding. Marriage is the union of souls. You will not find that from the beginning, the arrangement was that the woman will live inside the man. And so this is why when God wanted to create the woman, he brought her out of the man. She was always inside. You will not find that in Genesis chapter 2, the Bible says God blessed them and called them Adam. Them. She was inside. Till today, there is a species of snake. I think the class they put them under is, they call them ovoviviparous. It's a snake that has both male and female reproductive system in one body. So the snake itself would lay the egg and fertilize the egg by itself. And then it doesn't need any, there's no guy who acts that snake out. That technology is still with creation. And so there's only one thing that carries that person that was inside you before. Eh? There's only one tool God designed to bring that person back inside you. It's sex. Sex is the union of souls, the lacing of spirits. It is sex that carries the woman as a separate entity and bring her and the man into togetherness again, and the two becomes one flesh. So, a person can now be a master of physical knowledge. What he knows so much, he knows physics, he knows chemistry, but he's void of spiritual intelligence. And every instruction God gave was for your good. There is no instruction that was given because God wanted to feel more like a God. It is because of the consequences of the things attached to contravening those laws that God gave those laws. There are people who are married already. Married officially in the eye of spirit. Yet they are praying, when would you settle me, Lord? And God is saying, but from the lens, the way we see. Jesus came to the Samaritan woman and said, you have been married to 5 men. And the one you are now living with is not your husband. What do you think Jesus was making reference to? That she has had 5 weddings. That she had invited her family members for 5 different weddings. No. You have bonded with 5 people. Your spirit has been laced. And you are currently on another bonding project with another strange man. People are not happy. Any day I talk about this kind of thing, usually if I talk about these things, they don't even give me transport back home. So I come with my transport. I come prepared. When we touch certain areas that men don't like, after such a meeting, you know, they just say, well, God bless you, brother. God bless you. These are laws. They are ordinances. The average Christian is deceived. He thinks he's having fun. Of all the things, sex is not fun. It's the union of spirits. Sex is meant to make 2 people. Do you observe that if a couple truly are living together in harmony and love and enjoying a good intimacy, they begin to look alike physically? Sex is too powerful. Somebody just wakes up, a guy comes and asks you out. You don't know his background, nothing. Please come, sir. I need a lady to volunteer so that I don't point you by myself. Please come. This brother is fasting. He is praying. He is sowing seeds. He is trusting God for miracles, signs, and wonders. God is seeing all his labor. He is studying. And God is saying, I will hand over an inheritance to this one. When the devil comes to tempt him, please, if you are following me, say amen. Amen. When the devil comes to tempt him and continues to fail in attempt to bring this brother down, Satan will leave him at a season. Because he finds out this one, his mind is made up to serve the Lord. Satan will go and start looking for a sister. So Satan has left him, but Satan is still on his case. But the case is not with him again. The case is with another person. What Satan starts doing is that he begins to make this lady to begin to contravene laws and ordinances. And every time you bend and break a law, consequences follow. So there are people carrying all kinds of strange curses on their head because of the various things they have contradicted. There are people today that nobody can help. Anybody who helps them begin to suffer. Your life will be going well until you help them. And yet they are suffering. And you just try to be a relief to them, then your finance will receive a shock. You can trace that my problem started the day I gave this person something. You know what the spirits do? They go and start using her, tempt her, make her make all kinds of silly mistakes. This one is busy overcoming temptation. This one is busy falling for temptation. What they want is that in 2 years' time, destiny will bring this one into the same space. This one will now look at a sister looking sanctimonious and say, "Kai, my goodness, thank you, Lord, you have done it." What Satan wants to do, he wants to delete all your history of faithfulness. Because inside sex, there is a union, there is a unity. The two becomes one. Have you heard people that said, "My wife is a blessing. From the day I married her, my life began to work." What actually happened is that the potential around her life, when they came and spirit mixed together, suddenly the things that were working around her flows into him. The same way blessings can flow, that is how people can bring curses to your life. So he's a brother called, anointed for exploit. Satan will go and use somebody and invest, download apps inside the person, viruses, and carry the person and come in a season when he's not suspecting. There are many of you, he's waiting for you in the junction of marriage. He knows that you have been flexing your muscles since. There is a point I will bring somebody. When you marry the devil's daughter, he becomes your father-in-law immediately. When they meet, two of them, what happens is, spiritually, the spirit will not say, this is the person that did it. As they both became one, this guy will just find out suddenly that his prayer life is going down. You don't understand. No fire again. He opens the word of God and starts sleeping. It is the spiritual potential on her. And mind you, it is easier to pull somebody down than to raise a person up. If you don't know what I'm trying to say in all this parable, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Oh, it matters. It matters the laws we are contradicting. Tonight, I'm just sharing the armor of light. There are many things when you know. The Bible says, and thou shalt know the truth. It is because of this kind of revelation. This is why when you see the temptation present itself to you, you look, there's no human being watching. What you are about to exchange is bigger than any human being looking. It's bigger than the 10 minutes of fun. You are about to compromise your destiny. Satan knows. He does not need. You know, I told you yesterday, sin is progressive. There's no sin that actually intends to stop there. Sin is progressive. So from here, the devil will cause that. She will take him. When she takes him, there will be another need for another sin. Amen. So one day you will just turn and look at your life and see all the things you have done that started with just one decision. An endless journey of compromise. The armor of light. Please celebrate them. There is no security like the security of righteous living. There is no security like the security of holy living. Holiness is actually a package of security. And so tonight, I want to give a chance and an opportunity. You know that maybe consciously or unconsciously, laws have been contravened. You have walked in rebellion against God. You have contradicted the instructions of God. And then, perchance, some afflictions have entered your life. It's not a time to pray, God of Elijah, answer by fire. You don't qualify for that prayer, because the reason why you are going through that thing is because you broke the edge. So we'll come like David this night. You will come first broken, not claiming rights, not defending yourself. Your first prayer is have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. I shared this thing somewhere in the East. I think Enugu. A lady was smiling. The person I was using for the example was just smiling. Smiling. And I looked at her, and the Holy Ghost dropped a thought in my heart. He says, this is her predicament. There are many times the smile of people does not actually communicate unbelief. The smile is they don't know where to start from. They just start laughing first. So this is the problem. And I say, let's cry for mercy. She told me that good men will come to her life. Good people will come. She has no challenge attracting people. There are people, you will always come near the palace, but you will never enter. You will always get the chance to come near the palace, but they will never open the door for you. Some people will have continuous cycle of near success syndrome. It will be almost it, but it will not be it. When you see this kind of diagnosis around your life, it's a sign that there is an installation. There is a law working on legal ground. And so since there are legal issues around your predicament, you cannot come violently. You can't come shouting like a prayer warrior. No. Mercy first. Have mercy. In any way I have erred, in any way I have broken ordinance, whatever I have done, Lord, start from me. Let me take responsibility first. Search me, the way David said, and try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. He said, lead me in the way everlasting. This is why we don't know how to recover from affliction. You are in affliction. You are still forming right. You are still angry. You are now even giving God a deadline. And say, I give you between now and next month. If you don't do anything I do, so it's not my fault. Really? People are warning God and saying, well, they don't want to go to any herbal. A lady called me and said, she wants me to pray for her. She's having this health challenge. But that if by this time next month nothing has happened, she will be forced to go to the village. And that that's all she wants me to know. In case you don't know what she meant, she's telling me indirectly that I should better talk to my God. Because there is a possibility of decamping. The place you are going to, the challenge waiting for you there is more than what you went there with. The first posture to receive from God is brokenness. I'm sorry. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves. After that, then pray. After that, repent. Turn from their wicked ways. You know what our behavior makes that scripture look like? If my people who are called by my name shall pray, I will turn their situation around and I will heal their land. They skip, humble themselves, skip repentance, turn from their wicked ways. Your business that is dying before your eyes, everything you are doing to resuscitate it continues to prove abortive. There are laws that can quicken it again. You will just realize that everything is alive. It has an ear and it can hear you. There are principles and laws. The way you can jump up, and there is a law installed to bring anything that goes up down. There are other laws put into time by God, given exclusively to his children. This is why Satan also operates by light. Oh, there are many Muslim men. I'm not joking. Muslim men who bless me every month. I will stay on my own. I will see Muhammad, Abubakar, you know, Yusuf, sending money to my account. I know what they are doing. They don't want to have a relationship with my God, but they know that if they bless a man that God's jealousy is towards, they know that their life will be blessed. I have been brought into the board of two companies, one owned by a Muslim man. You know why he brought me to their board? What did I do to be a part of a board? The man said he wants the good luck. You know, they don't understand kingdom things. They just talk in layman language. He said he wants the good luck that is around my head to be around his business. And I was watching a Gentile. He don't want Jesus. He doesn't want Jesus. When I was coming to your church, I was in Abuja Airport, sitting down. A brother came and sat by my side and turned and looked at me and said, are you Apostle Eva? And I said, yes, I am. And he went up small and came back and came and whispered in my ear, please, can I have your account details? And I said, it's no challenge. You know, for those of us who are in ministry, that's one of the best questions people can ask me. Because there are all kinds of questions. By 3 a.m., somebody woke you up and say, hello. Also, are you sleeping? Sometimes I wish I can answer that question as it is in my heart. So I'll say, just talk. What is the challenge? And you say, God, I was sleeping and I just had a dream. This is somebody that had his own time to sleep. Then he will now call you and be offended that you wanted to sleep. That is, if I understand what he meant, I'm sleeping, you too, you are sleeping, so who is praying for who? Somebody woke me up last week, woke me up by 2:30 a.m. and said she had a dream that she was eating and then somebody took the meat from the food. I said, what is this? What is this? These are the same people, when you are done blessing them, they refuse to own up that they are the ones you are talking to. So they will queue up immediately after meeting. An endless queue. And begin to take counseling with you one after. The same thing you just thought. They weary you. Sometimes before I get home, it's 1 a.m. As I put my head on the pillow like this, my phone will start ringing. Flimsy issues. So, time and time again, Jesus will encourage you with a good question. Can I have your account number? And you smile in that kind of time. And you know there's a pretense we do as men of God. You say it's not necessary. Leave it. The person will say, please, give me. The hope is that he will insist. Brother, sister, favor. Favor is a perfume. Favor is real. The way a man wears a perfume and enters a place and there is something in you that begins to take note that somebody is around. An atmosphere. Favor is a perfume. Dishonor is also a perfume. It's like smell. People don't know why they don't want anything to do with you. No matter how good you try to present yourself, people are just, they are always suspicious of you and you have not done anything. Brother, you are dealing with a law. It's dishonor. When a spirit wants to bless you, they will not give you any certificate. They will put favor around your life. Suddenly, you just realize that anywhere you go, doors begin to open by themselves. Doors open by themselves. Tonight, for want of time, I think we have second service too. Wherever you are, I want you to be honest with yourself and God this night. If this conference will move your life in any direction, let it start from repentance. Lord, search me. Check all my actions. If I have done anything at any point that have opened me up to negative experiences, that have opened me up to attacks, opened me up to curses, opened me up to any kind of signal, Jesus, by your blood, blot out every evil handwritings. Every evil handwritings. It's a good time to pray wherever you are. Lord, everything I did knowingly and unknowingly, everything I did in the days of ignorance, show me mercy. Show me mercy. Show me mercy. Show me mercy. Some of you will pray for your children quickly. 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 Because there are actions that you did that exposed them to negative energies. Negative atmosphere. Today is a conversation with altars. Today is conversation with thrones. Today it is a court session you are holding in the world of spirit. You are coming before the great judge and you are not defending yourself today. You are telling him, have mercy, Father. Show me mercy. What is it that does not let me enjoy favor? Somebody will cry this night to God. What is it that makes anything that enter my hand to be wasted? How did the devourer start following me? Please, I'm begging somebody where you are. Don't be quiet. What is attracting death to my family? What is attracting the spirit of death to this family? What is the mystery that has opened our gates up? Oh, anywhere, anything I have done that has broken the edge. Jesus, show mercy. Your greatest prayer is mercy. It's not fire, it's mercy. Your greatest prayer is mercy. Never get tired of exploring the corridor of mercy. Show me mercy. Show me mercy. Show me mercy. Show me mercy. In the days of ignorance, you have opened your vessel up and you have laced your soul. You have laced your soul in immorality to strange people. Today you will cry. There is only one thing that can break marriage. Is death. It's only death that separates the union. And so you will die in Christ this night. You will die in Christ. You will tell the Lord Jesus, have mercy. Have mercy upon me. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. giving you the next 5 minutes. The next 5 minutes. Deal with this matter once and for all in destiny. Would you continue to remain like this? Would your story remain like this? Would the narration for your life remain like this? Why are you quiet? You find that there is a yearning, a nature that draws you to sin, draws you to immorality. Cry this night.
Has come. Ebenezer. Ebenezer, my help has come. My help has come. My help has come. Mercy has come. Mercy has come.
Mercy is a person. Mercy is a person. You will meet him this morning. Meet him. Meet him this morning. No pretense today. No pretense. Just me and you, God. Show me mercy.
Forgiveness has come. Forgiveness has come. Your freedom has come. Freedom has come.
Everywhere in this hall, as different as our faces appear, that is how our needs and our challenges are different. But God knows you. God knows you. He knows your points of need. And this morning I want to ask the Lord to touch everybody at the point of their need. One of the biggest impact God will do in our lives this morning is He will channel His mercy towards us. In the light that the wages of sin is death, the scripture did not end there. It says the gift of God. It must be a gift because you deserve death. Wages means fair reward. So only a gift can undo this reward. The gift of God is eternal life. And it is that life Jesus wants to give to us this morning. I'll be teaching on this gift of God in the lens of the armor of light in the second service. I'll be teaching on this particular thing they call the gift of God. This one that comes to give eternal life. I'll be sharing around it, you know, in the lens of the armor of light. Let me make 2 decrees over us. And if you can receive it, take it. I declare over your life, and I declare everything around you, upon you, everything that walks and speaks negativity and depletes your strength and undermines your effort, I declare it is blotted out by the blood of Jesus Christ. I command every voice, no weapon formed or fashioned against you any weapon that was concocted with you in mind. This is how princes operate. They lure you to make mistakes. They are responsible for tempting you. And when you fall, they enact laws around that temptation and then use it to afflict a man. I declare every tongue that rises against you in judgment, we condemn it in the name of Jesus Christ. By the blood of Jesus, we blot out every smell, every incense, everything that pursues favor, that drives away people, that drives away breakthrough, that drives away your helpers. I declare it is erased from your life now in the name of Jesus Christ. Finally, upon you, I declare that favor rests on you like a perfume. When Jacob was going to receive the blessing from Isaac, he says, see the smell of my son like the smell of a fruitful field. He knows that the blessing is around a smell. I declare, the smell around your life is the smell of fruitfulness, the smell of royalty, the smell of excellence, the smell of life. Everything about death is erased from your life now. And lastly, I declare, you are like a tree planted by the river of water. Anything you do will prosper now. Thank you, Father, because you hear us. Wherever you are, just lift up your voice in the next 3 minutes and begin to appreciate the Lord for this mighty deliverance. Begin to thank Him in your own words.